It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down.
Shoot up, bomb, man!
Here's Carmichael Dave.
By the way, somebody throwing that in there, too. I should have mentioned that. Top Shot just started releasing WNBA cards, and they have been on fire.
Again.
That's a great way to
When
market.
You market your stars, then that's another way to do it. That's how you grow your sport. Again, the WNBA taking clues from sports who do well.
Before we get to Dave Richard, your phone calls are welcome at 916-339-1140 if you need fantasy.
Says who?
Well, we'll allow your phone call.
Why?
David Aldridge in The Athletic.
Oh, boy.
Speaking about the Sacramento Kings and Ben Simmons, and kind of a roundtable. Another round, a lot of roundtables.
I read this yesterday. Good article, by the way.
The Kings have whiffed so many times on so many draft picks over the years, but the last few, Fox, Halliburton, and Mitchell, have been excellent, and that gives Sacramento an opportunity to offer a fair package to Philly, centered around Buddy Hield and future firsts. Given that it would be Kings picks, it's likely one or two would be lottery picks in the near future. Giving the Sixers incentive to pull the trigger and add young, controllable, potentially difference-making talent through the draft, along with Hield. He of the career 41% from deep. They also mentioned, by the way, Oklahoma City. What's Sacramento's motivation? And this is the crux of my point on Simmons, why there's so many people that are ticked at me for being so stuck on this. When would the Kings ever get a 25-year-old all-star to sign there in free agency for 4 years? Unique circumstances allowed the Kings to acquire 25-year-old Chris Webber from the Bullets in 98. We spoke on this yesterday. The circumstances that have now made Simmons available are, of course, similarly odd. And when I ranked the Kings 29th for NBA offseason moves, it wasn't because I didn't like Mitchell. I like him a lot. It's just a lot to ask a 6'1 rookie point guard to single-handedly turn around what was one of the worst teams in defense in league history last season. But Mitchell and Simmons, on the other hand, could begin to change things at that end immediately, and the Kings would still have more than enough scoring on the floor with Fox, Halliburton, Barnes leading the way. And the Kings haven't been in the playoffs in 15 years. That weighs on a franchise, even one with a fan base as loyal as Sacramento. Simmons could help get the Kings there eventually. Now, the response to me on that, of course, is going to be, yeah, dummy, if we can give them up without giving up Fox and Halliburton, we're in. And I've said this from day one. If Monty McNair can pull off getting Ben Simmons and holding on to Fox and Halliburton, and anything three firsts or less, give him executive of the year right now.
Because it would be a hell of a coup.
It would be an absolute coup, probably.
And
I mean, three picks.
You know, and I by the way, Jason Jones put it out, Sam Amick put it out, you know, the Kings saying Fox, Halliburton, untouchable, X, right. Y, and Z. I think that's a smart approach, and you're seeing every team that's been linked to Simmons is kind of putting out the same thing. Timberwolves don't want to make D'Angelo Russell available. The Warriors don't want to make anybody available. And I am really at the point where I think at some point, Daryl Morey is going to... This is starting to play out, and it mentions this parallel happens in that article too. What happened with Jimmy Butler in Minnesota,
right,
and how they held on for far too long and they trade him to Philly for next to nothing. A couple role players.
Right.
Daryl Morey is getting dangerously close to approaching that territory, and he's going to end up having to swallow a deal he doesn't want to take.
Yes.
And I will just say this, if the Kings deal is Buddy Bagley and two first of those bad deals that he's going to have to take, it's going to be one of the better ones.
It
will be a competitive deal at that point.
By the way, after hearing those comments, as Dave Richards about to join us, after hearing the comments to your point about the Warriors yesterday and hearing Joe Lacob and I forget who wrote it, but somebody did a really good job compiling those thoughts, I believe that the Warriors are not. They have absolutely no interest in any sort of a Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody, you know, multiple picks type of thing. It doesn't sound like the Warriors are even in the picture right now, which isn't to say that couldn't change. All of this could not change. And I was half joking yesterday, but honest to goodness, Oklahoma City's just chilling there. And any time you have any situation like this where someone's looking to cash out on a star like Simmons, you have to look at Oklahoma City because they have the most. they have the most ammo to put out there. Dave, would you do a trade if it was Heald and Mitchell and two firsts? Yes, I would do that trade. But I would trade nothing for our next guest, Dave Richard. Back for year 12? I don't know. He's been with us a long time. He's quite in demand. From the great state of Florida, he will be sitting back this Monday, Labor Day holiday, watching my Florida State Seminoles get trounced at Doak Campbell Stadium by the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and he will be ringing, clapping his hands together and loving every minute of it, and I'm sure I'll get a text at some point. But hey, whatever, that's what friends are for, as we welcome back the lovely and the talented from CBS Sports, Dave Richard. Good morning, David.
What's up, Dave? How are you? You know, the problem is that I might be clapping and happy, but the reality is both of our teams are going to be 0-1 by the end of Labor Day weekend, because Miami Hurricanes taking on Alabama.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here trying to think about, all right, what's the way that Miami can win? And I think I got it. Tell me if this makes sense. Alabama doesn't go on the airplane, travel for the game. They decide to walk, but Nick Saban's clock and alarm is late, and they leave too late from Tuscaloosa to Atlanta. And they don't make the game, and it's a forced forfeit, and the Canes win. I think that's how the Canes can do it.
I think at that point, I think Alabama would only be a 2.5-point favorite, but I think Miami could overcome. we got to quit drawing these tough teams in game one. But whatever, screw it. College football is back, and obviously you and I are huge fans there of opposing teams. But fantasy football is back as well. You know, I've been screaming about this, David, and I want you to back me up or tell me I'm dumb. In most cases, unless you're forced to, if you're drafting your teams before this weekend, you're doing it wrong. Agree or disagree?
I agree. You are doing it wrong, and it's for all the people that thought it was a great idea to draft before last weekend, and they took J.K. Dobbins in round three.
Yep.
And now he's out for the year. There were people who declared their keepers before that game, and they were like, I'm keeping J.K. Dobbins. I took him in round seven, and you're feeling all proud of yourself. And now he's done for the year, and your commissioner's going to say, nope, sorry, he's yours all year. It's frustrating. You don't want to – on one hand, you want to have the chance to draft out-of-nowhere players before they get popular. There are some receivers that I have loved this preseason, and then they do well in the games, and I can't say their sleepers anymore. I can't say Jacoby Myers is a sleeper anymore. Everybody knows who he is. I can't say Marquez Callaway is a sleeper. Everybody's seen him score two touchdowns. So it's like, where do I go now to find sleepers who are under the radar? Don't worry, I'll have some. But it's almost like people are paying so much attention that as soon as something happens, you're not getting value anymore. And you're missing out on that by drafting late instead of early. But you're missing the injuries by drafting late instead of early. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Am I rambling too much?
No.
Oh, I am. Okay,
no.
Then I'll stop. I'll
no,
stop.
No. No, you make
I would rather, go ahead. I would rather not deal with the injuries.
Yep.
Okay, and so, all right, now I know who's available for week one. I'd rather know that and still lose out on those sleepers, because I can always find sleepers, rather than draft in July and then have to stick with it come September.
The great Dave Richard from CBS Sports joining us this morning. This one's a little close to home, Dave, but I want to get your opinion on this. Would you get anywhere near a 49ers quarterback this season?
Sure. In a super flex league where you can start two quarterbacks, I think that I would look at Trey Lance toward the middle of those drafts. Those are usually drafts for quarterbacks. We could see that happen there. But in a regular one quarterback draft, maybe I would take Lance toward the end of my bench. But I think this plan that Kyle Shanahan's got cooking, where he's going to use Garoppolo and Lance, and I think that's what the plan's going to be. I'd be surprised if it's not the plan. Then, I think it's going to work for the Niners, but it's not going to work for fantasy. Usually teams that do that and use two quarterbacks don't throw as much. And last year they were league average in pass attempts per game. They were lower than that the year before that. So they might throw, they might be bottom five this year if their plan works all season long. So that's bad for the receivers. It's bad for George Kittle. And if Trey Lance is playing 30 or 40% of the snaps, how do you start them in fantasy? How do you start Garoppolo if he's playing 50 or 60% of the snaps or 70% of the snaps. And the thing about it is that for Lance to be the full-time quarterback for the 49ers, one of these things has to happen. Garoppolo has to get hurt, or Kyle Shanahan's got to be impatient with Garoppolo not doing enough as a passer. And I think if Garoppolo is playing fewer snaps, that lowers the risk of him losing his job because of injury or because of being a bad quarterback. And he's not a bad quarterback. He's an okay quarterback. I just think Lance would give them a better chance to win, but it's Kyle Shanahan who makes the decision, and right now it looks like Shanahan's going to lean on both of these guys, and it kind of stinks all around for fantasy. It does help Raheem Mostert, but for the most part, I think that Trey Lance is a quarterback who people might be a little too excited about. I would much rather draft Justin Fields in Chicago at this point, Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. I'd take him over both those guys as far as like rookie quarterbacks to stash and see what happens with.
Dave Richard with us. I'll piggyback on that when it comes to the Niners since we are in Sacramento. I'm old enough to remember when a guy named Mike Shanahan would have Clinton Portis and then Mike Anderson and then Orlandis Gary, and they were all plug and play. So with the Niners, it seems like they're going to be one of those frustrating teams where you don't know who is going to get what wherever one week. Beyond the quarterbacks, I'm imagining here the most popular picks off the Niners would be in some order Debo, Kittle, Mostert, and the defense. Give me your top two or three Niner picks overall that you'd have the most confidence in off that team.
Kittle is going to be the one that goes first and foremost in drafts. He'll be a round three choice. I like him in the middle of round three, especially in PPR. He's healthy now. He looked good on the one catch that he had last week. I would expect him to be one of the top tight ends in fantasy football. We've come to expect that from him. He's getting drafted as such. The next 49ers player that you'll probably see drafted is Brandon Ayuk, who is obviously a playmaker, but if the team's running the ball a lot, that means they're throwing less. And he didn't really get a ton of targets when Kittle was healthy last year. Anyway, 5.5 per game, it wasn't a ton. And it's hard to imagine him getting even – he could get a bump. But, Dave, I don't think he'll be more than maybe 6.5 per game. And you're usually looking from starting receivers in fantasy, you want 7 per game. So I've kind of cooled it on Brandon Ayuk. I look at him as a round 6 pick, and I would take him very, very close to Raheem Mostert. Okay. Mostert looks great. He looks spry. Still has that speed. Kyle Shanahan has talked him up, both in the general media and on Sirius NFL radio. I've heard him there. And I think that Mostert's going to have the opportunity to be the best fantasy running back for however long he's healthy in San Francisco. But all three of those guys, Ayuk, followed by Mostert, followed by Trey Sermon. And Sermon's looked good, just hasn't been as fast as Mostert. Those guys are all going to go somewhere between the middle of round 5 and the end of round 7. And I wouldn't be surprised if all three of them ended up going in round 6, because people are going to be excited about Ayuk. I'm not as excited. I am excited about Mostert, and there will be people people gravitate toward rookies anyway, Dave. So yeah. Not Mostert, but Sermon's going to be that guy. Yeah. So people are going to reach for him a little bit too. The one that I like the best at that ADP is going to be Mostert.
Where do you have, just to finish off on that, where do you have the Niners DST ranked amongst your defenses?
They are going to be one of the DSTs that I do look for on draft day. Wouldn't mind taking them before, like, my second to last pick. Some people, like, they wait till, if you have to start a kicker, you wait till your last pick to take a kicker. Right. And then you wait till your second to last pick to take a DST. I think the 49ers are worthy of being either that second to last pick or that third to last pick, just because they take on Detroit in week one on top of it. It's kind of the cherry on top. Should get you off to a nice start in week one.
Dave, let's stay in the NFC West just because it's a super fun division. The Rams obviously started out with some major injuries to the backfield. Now they have Sony Michel coming over from New England. Do you think this is a team, given the issues with that backfield, and now that they have Matthew Stafford, is going to be throwing the ball more? Who are some of the Rams guys you want people to pay attention to as they get ready to draft?
I am a huge fan of Robert Woods. I think he's their best all-around receiver. I think everything that's happened this offseason has genuinely benefited Robert Woods. And I mean everything, from getting Stafford to the running back injuries to Sean McVay changing his hair gel to DeSean Jackson going there, because he's going to take coverage off of Woods. And you've seen the way that Woods has played. Not only does he run all the typical routes that a number one receiver does, they give him the ball on carries. They let him absolutely do work down the field. They let him do handoffs and jet sweeps. He's going to get you fantasy production in a number of different ways. And I think he's got a chance to have a career year, and I'm not shying away from taking him in round three. I'm also not shying away from Cooper Kupp, although I'd prefer him in PPR than non-PPR. He had a miserable year last year because he didn't score a lot of touchdowns, but he was top 12 in targets per game among wideouts. I would imagine he'll be right there again. If my choice is taking Darrell Henderson in that Raheem Mostert range of round six or maybe even round five, or waiting for Sony Michel in round eight or nine, I think I'm going to take Michel. I look at both of these running backs, and I kind of feel like they're the same. They're both injury prone. Neither one has much work in their career playing on third downs or on passing downs. I know that Henderson's more explosive as a pass catcher, but we really haven't seen the Rams use him that way. And there's just something about Henderson that I think Sean McVay doesn't like. I think he's not comfortable leaning on him as a feature back. So these guys might end up splitting 50-50, kind of like how the 49ers are going to use Mostert and Sermon. And hopefully it's just Mostert and Sermon in San Francisco. I think the value for Sony Michel, late round eight, early round nine, there's definitely going to be people in drafts that just do not want him. They think he's damaged goods. And he might be. But he could also give you 4 or 5 weeks this season where you can start him as an RB2 and feel good about it. Stafford's a top 12 quarterback, going to be somebody that you take in like round 10 plus, after all the big names are gone, of course. But he's got potential for 5,000 yards this year, because with Akers going down, with a two-headed backfield that might get blown up by injuries at some point, we don't know how much Sean McVay even likes him. McVay's going to want to throw the ball a ton. And now he's got Stafford to do it, because Jared Goff went backwards in his last 3 years. Now this offense can go into hyperdrive. All the receivers will benefit. I didn't mention Tyler Higbee. He's okay to start the year. Matchup against Chicago isn't great, but he's also never been like a big-time pass catcher outside for five games in 2019. But this offense is going to throw a decent amount, I think, and I think Stafford could truly benefit.
You know, I love always talking philosophy with you as Dave Richard of CBS Sports joins us. So everyone's in this position. You're in a 10 or 12 team league. You're drafting towards the end. There's a run on running backs right away, and you've got to make the decision. Like, do I go for a lesser running back here, or do I buck the trend and do I grab a number one, number two in the league receiver, et cetera, et cetera? So in quarterbacks, for example, I've seen mostly top three, some combination of Mahomes, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers. Is for Tom Brady, for example, somebody like that, is there a quarterback or a couple quarterbacks out there that you would say, hey, listen, you're going to be tempted to grab a QB in the fourth round. Don't waste that pick. Grab another running back or receiver. You're going to get this guy, or you'll probably get these guys later on for better value. Any quarterbacks standing out to you like that?
Yes. I look at ADP, and I see Dak Prescott going in round five. I think he's worth that ADP. Justin Herbert. Herbert's ADP might be a little too high, so scratch Herbert. Tannehill is somebody that I think people just continue to overlook. All he's done is give you at least 20 fantasy points in 21 of his last 26 games. And now he's got Julio Jones. So I think I'm interested in Ryan Tannehill on my fantasy team. Right. I can wait until after like round seven to get him in pretty much every single draft. There's a narrative on Jalen Hurts that he can't throw. He's looked outstanding in the preseason. He looked good in later training camp practices. And he's the starting quarterback in Philly, and he will run a lot. What makes Kyler Murray and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson great fantasy quarterbacks? It's their legs, the fact that they can throw for good numbers and then put up rushing numbers on top of that. Jalen Hurts has that upside. So I just got done talking about Matthew Stafford and how much I like him. I'd rather have Jalen Hurts than Matthew Stafford. He's a guy that you can wait on draft day.
Wow.
And not only can you wait on Matthew Stafford, I think you can wait on Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence as well. I think both of those quarterbacks, we know Lawrence is going to start week one, but Burrow, Lawrence, ballyhooed prospects, we love them coming out, and they're going to have opportunities with good receiving cores to put up numbers, and certainly both of them will throw plenty this year, and you can wait literally till round 9 or 10 to get either one of them to start for your team. And there's other guys that you've heard of, names you know, like Roethlisberger, Cousins, Ryan. They're going to be late-round picks as well. So if you get a quarterback that you're not quite comfortable with, like a Hurts or a Burrow or a Lawrence, you can draft Roethlisberger right along with him, and you've got a two-headed monster quarterback, and you just start the one that you're most comfortable with each week.
I just hit the 21-1 parlay on whether or not Dave Richard would use ballyhooed in his first appearance on the show.
Boy.
I nailed it, dude.
$10
on that. We're going to Sizzler, baby.
Yeah, we going Sizzler.
Dave, you know we love you. You're the best. And by the way, as always, because everybody's hunkered down for their drafts coming up this weekend, where can people read, see, and all other forms take in Dave Richard?
You can find me on Twitter at Dave Richard. You can also just Google Dave Richard Fantasy and you'll get links to all of my work, all the writing I do, all the podcasts that I'm on. But I got something even better than that. About half an hour, we are going to be on CBS Sports HQ. That is the 24/7 live streaming home for sports news, highlights, smart analysis. And we're going to do an hour of fantasy football talk. We're going to run through a mock draft that was done by average Joes, not necessarily analysts that tell you, well, you should wait on a quarterback. These are the picks that are going to be made by people in your home leagues this weekend. We're going to critique it. We're going to tell you what mistakes were made. We're going to tell you what good picks were made. And we'll let you know who the sleepers, breakouts, and busts are along the way. That's all going to happen at 9 a.m. your time, Dave, on CBSSportsHQ.com. Or you can watch it for free on the free CBS Sports app, which you can download anywhere where you get your applications for your cellular devices.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
I prefer mobile apparatuses. Yeah,
whatever. He's a pro's pro right there. He's
Is it apparatus? Is it application?
Apparatus.
Yeah, I don't know.
All I know is I want to go get some appetizers.
Yeah, I hear you, dude. We'll meet you at Sizzler.
Mozzarella sticks on us.
Bad luck to your Hurricanes this weekend, and we appreciate you always, each and every week, and good to have you back. I missed you, buddy. Hope you had a great offseason, and we look forward to hearing from you throughout the year.
It is super awesome to hear both your voices. Go Canes, go Irish.
Talk to you soon. That's Dave Richard. Najee Harris is a name that I've seen a lot of different levels of him being drafted. I feel like Najee Harris is going to play a very important role in fantasy. The rookie running back for the Steelers out of the Bay Area here played at Antioch High and for Alabama.
There's anything we know, Mike Tomlin has a system that seems to work for his running backs.
I mean, James Conner is going. Where's James Conner? Arizona now or something? And you know, once
saw what it did for Le'Veon Bell. Is it you going Le'Veon Bell on me?
Right. I mean, it is kind of a plug and play there. And James Conner, once upon a time, I mean, heck, what was it? 3 years ago. It's so amazing when you see for every LaDainian Tomlinson or Sean Alexander or Christian McCaffrey that's a perennial top five or these guys. Remember when David Johnson,
that
long ago, was talked about as number one pick?
They was traded for Bernard Hopkins. David Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins, too. I told you the coffee, bro, is just not doing it for me anymore.
Who's David Hopkins?
David Hopkins.
That's a guy I went to school with in fourth grade.
Yes.
Oh, Davey Hopkins. Yes. That me. He was traded for Bernard Hopkins. The execution.
X.
All right, we'll take a break.
Please, I need it.
That was nice.
Hey, coming up next. It's been a long week.
Yeah, man, it's been three whole days of work. When we get back, Jay Mar is going to try to wake up.
John Hopkins might join
us,
too.
Somebody in the bullpen ready to go. And once in a blue moon, that's his responsibility, too. Don't miss it.
Oh, boy.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
These people talk endlessly, incessantly. They have a very high number of words per minute.
On Sports 1140 KHCK.
A week from today, it'll be a very fun show. You listen to us, and we appreciate that. We question why sometimes, but hey, we all have poor decision-making, and we thank you for that. And so we, in turn, try to give you the most entertaining and informative show on the planet. It never happens, but we try.
Right? A for effort.
A for effort. Next Friday, we will be announcing our fall lineup. Right here on the Sporty 1140, specifically this morning's show.
It sounds like you're announcing the old NBC Thursday night lineups when you say it like that.
These are what's called our upfronts, Jay, if to use a business term, an industry term. We'll be having our upfronts next Friday. We will unveil some new, some old faces that you're familiar with, but we will have daily coverages. In the world of football, coming to you throughout the season, from players to ex-players to experts to writers to the whole thing.
Us.
Us. Yeah, us too, I guess. We will announce all that Friday. I think you guys are going to be very, very happy every single day.
It's going to be a good football season.
Dare I say, Jay, is this hyperbole? Dare I say the fall line, and by the way, answer honestly. I'm not leading you here. You can say no.
Okay.
The fall lineup on this show that we're going to announce on Friday is the best cover-to-cover football lineup we've ever had.
I mean, I can't say ever because I haven't been here forever. I'll say since I've been here, it's not even particularly close.
I will say since I've been here, the best. It is the best lineup we've had since I've been doing this show. We're very excited to bring all that to you. Also, almost as excited to bring you, but not quite, but almost as excited to bring you Once in a Blue Moon with Jay Mars. And that starts right now.
Once in a Blue Moon, brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
You know, speaking of football, on this day in 1995, 26 years ago, the Carolina Panthers and Jacksonville Jaguars debuted in the National Football League. Carolina would end up losing to Atlanta 23-20 in front of 58,808 fans at the Georgia Dome, while the Jags lost to the, get this, Houston Oilers, 10-3 in front of 73,363 fans at the Jacksonville Municipal Stadium.
The Jacksonville Municipal Stadium. Wow. Look at that.
I am old enough to remember when they debuted.
I am too. The let's see.
Quickly, do you remember the starting quarterbacks for both teams?
Was Mark Brunell for the Jacks?
Very good.
Who was the other one, the Oilers?
The Jags played the Oilers. I meant for the Panthers.
Oh, the Panthers. Was that Kerry Collins?
Look at you.
Thank you.
A savant of expansion football.
That's really what my specialty is. Expansion football, I got you. The last time that every team in the same division started a quarterback 25 years old or younger in their season opener, we just talked about this, the 1973 AFC Central. I bring that up because we were talking about...
Wait, say that again?
The 1973 AFC Central. Terry Bradshaw, Ken Anderson, Dan Pastorini, Mike Phipps. We were talking yesterday.
We were talking about 85, though,
right,
with the same stat.
Right. Oh, we were, weren't we?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Because who was it? It was Marino. It was Ken O'Brien.
Schlichter, I found out.
Oh, Schlichter. I like Schlichter better.
Did you see that Art Schlichter had news yesterday?
No.
I got hit
That's
with
random.
No, it is completely random. I've never said that name out loud in my life, and we ended up talking about him, or at least how to pronounce his name, and I gotta say, maybe an hour after the show, somebody sends me this story from yesterday. Former Colts quarterback Art Schlichter, a bust as the fourth overall pick in the 82 draft, and a man who has been convicted of several crimes has been released from his latest stint in prison. He was paroled over the objection of Ohio prosecutors. Anyways, I won't go into it. I'm not trying to pile on to Art, who hopefully is going to rebuild his life, and best of luck to him. But what are the odds of that?
So I don't believe in coincidences, friend.
It's like the whole, like, you're thinking of somebody and then the phone rings.
Yes, I don't believe in coincidence.
What are those?
The higher power has taken place.
Something going on
Footballically speaking, of course.
A couple of notes for you here. The Cubs are 6-20 this month.
Is that bad?
It's a 230 winning percentage. It's the fourth worst mark in team history. In a calendar month of at least 25 games, that's not great for Cubs fans. A couple other things. Since 95, 124 of the 157 baseball teams in first place on the morning of September 1st finished there. 79% of those teams. Amongst the 33 teams that didn't finish first, only one squandered a lead at the beginning of the month of more than five games, and that would be the 95 Angels.
I will never forget that year. We'll never forget that year, the Mariners coming in and they played in that one game playoff.
That was insane.
Luis Soho around third, and that's all she wrote.
30 years ago today in Cleveland, Bill Belichick made his NFL head coaching debut. This was yesterday, by the way, in a 26-14 Browns loss to Jimmy Johnson's Dallas Cowboys. Those two head coaches would go on to win 8 of the next 28 Super Bowls.
That's a misleading stat.
A little bit.
That's a super misleading stat. Do you know Jimmy Johnson and Bill Belichick won 8 Super Bowls total combined in 28 years? So did Brian Billick and Bill Belichick.
Did you know that Tom Brady and I have combined for 7 Super Bowl titles?
Yes.
That is an absolute fact. 20 years ago yesterday.
Are you just scrolling through and finding whatever you can to fill the rest of the segment?
Yes, but I am scrolling. But I'm scrolling through my favorites. I go through these every day.
Oh, so that changes it.
Well,
that
I'm not
makes
just
it different.
A random Twitter account.
Yes, you are.
20 years ago tonight, the Yankees' Mike Mussina had a perfect game broken up at Fenway Park on a two-strike single by Carl Everett with two outs in the ninth inning.
Thanks a lot, Carl.
Remember Carl Everett?
Yes. Dodgers legend Carl Everett.
Yes.
That's who we all remember him with, right? The Dodgers.
And finally, where is it? I just had it here. The San Francisco Giants' streak of 77 straight days with the best record in the majors ended. They got into a tie with the Dodgers, or should I say the Dodgers took the lead. It was the Giants' longest streak with the best record in baseball since a 99-day stretch. You want to just take a guess? Since? Jay was just looking.
Sorry, I have the breaking news on baseball breaking news.
Is it actual breaking news?
Yes.
Is it for real breaking news?
Yes.
All right. So is it worth a breaking news sounder?
Yes.
Well, screw it. I already found it. All right. By the way, it was 1935 was the last time the Giants.
That's where I was going with
I
that,
think that's
it.
What you were going to say. Go ahead.
Trevor Bauer's lead with the Dodgers has been extended through September 10th, marking this the eighth time that they've now extended this. Pasadena police have turned over the results of its investigation into sexual assault allegations against Bauer to the L.A. County District Attorney, which is deciding whether to file charges. So the iceberg is about to break one way or the other in the Trevor Bauer case.
How do you think that's going to – which way do you think it's going to break?
I don't know. I feel like they're going to file charges.
I'm doing what we should do. I'm asking you to pontificate on a legal matter that's very serious on a sport.
And as you know, as someone who went through law school, passed the bar, I am one to pontificate on this stuff. I don't freaking know.
Here's my guess. I don't think they're going to file.
Okay.
And I think the Dodgers are going to be in an incredibly difficult position.
Oh my gosh, the most difficult position because at that point you just have to release him and pay the guy. You don't have a choice.
I mean, as long as he's getting paid, I guess he has no recourse.
He has no recourse. If you release him and pay him his salary, he can't say anything. Again, he has such a unique contract because he signed a 3-year deal with the first year being the only guaranteed deal, but years 2 and 3 are player options. So how does that, I mean, you waive him and essentially guarantee the last 2 years of that salary?
So now let me ask you this. Does anybody pick him up?
Boy, that's such a...
Let me present the situation.
Oh, man.
He has been convicted of nothing.
Right.
He has had, in this situation, I'm saying, in this make-believe situation, he has been convicted of nothing. He has been charged with nothing. And the Dodgers release him, which, by the way, I'm not so sure they do, Jay.
I don't know. It's been put out there in a lot of different circles that clubhouse does not want him back.
I mean,
and if anybody could release him and pay him and be okay, it's the Dodgers.
Is it, forgive me in my ignorance here, would it be possible for the Dodgers to trade him yet on the condition that they pay like a large portion of his salary for, can you do that for like the remainder of his contract?
Well, what you can do is he picks up his player option, right?
Right.
And then what you could do is, you could trade him and just basically say, we'll pay his salary or 98% of it. But again, at that point, you might as well just release the guy. It's not like you're going to get much for him in the trade market.
That's where I'm obviously beyond the real life implications, which trump anything having to do with baseball. I'm fascinated by what the Dodgers are going to do. Assuming if he's charged.
Oh, if he's charged, they're in the clear.
And or convicted.
I hate to look at it from that way.
I understand
that.
But more importantly, they can activate that ethics clause and see you later.
Right.
But assuming that none of that comes to fruition.
Yeah.
What do they do? And what do other teams do?
Well, that's just where it comes down to because, again, the Dodgers can release him, pay him, and, again, no recourse on them. They're in the clear.
Yes.
But if nothing is, if he's not convicted and can't find a job, he's going to have a grievance he can file against MLB, in my opinion.
If what happens?
If, let's say he's released by the Dodgers, right? And teams want to stay away from him because teams in the court of public opinion have charged Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
Essentially blackballing him from the league. That's what I think this is going to get really messy.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a case against the NFL, or at least hasn't successfully won a case against the NFL, I have a real hard time that Trevor Bauer is going to find any sympathy against Major League Baseball.
The thing is, Major League Baseball of all three sports is the dumbest when it comes to handling these type of things. So they could corner themselves at some point.
We'll take a break. Oh, no, we'll not take a break.
We'll kind of take a break.
Well, I know that you want to go to commercial, but would you mind humoring me for a second?
Because yeah.
I realize we've been doing this show for 2 hours and 42 minutes, and I have yet to talk about one of the most important things we've even covered. So let's blow through this break here real quick so I can talk to you about my friend Shelby, refinancewithshelby.com. Breaking news, you've got equity if you own a home in this area. And that equity can go to work to get that new fence built. How about that pool? Okay, maybe it's late in the year for a pool. I don't know. Pay off that credit card debt. Whatever it may be. Maybe college money. Sad day at the Carmichael Dave house yesterday. My daughter got an application from a college. She just started high school. I'm not ready for that. Either way, no matter what you need the money for, maybe you just want to lower your rate, Shelby and everybody over at United Wholesale Lending can help you out. By the way, I just hooked up a friend, I won't say who, not yet at least, but somebody you all know. Just hooked up a friend with him yesterday on a house purchase. Yeah, that's right. They can close in 17 days or less. That beats those cash offers that are coming in over the top from out of this market. He's not just the refinance doctor to the stars. He's helping everybody. RefinanceWithShelby.com. That's RefinanceWithShelby.com. NMLS number 279051. BRE number 01864354.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, what's on tap? Oh, boy, do we have a lot of stuff on tap this weekend. We'll get the crossover with Jason Ross. And also, a very popular broadcaster had his life saved by another broadcaster. I'll tell you what that's all about next.
Yeah, let's go, come on!
Uh-huh.
It's What's on Tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
Bootlegs!
Bootlegs, do they even do that? I mean, are there bootleg anything anymore?
Yes. Have you been to a swap meet?
Actually, I just got you a couple Dodgers things that would qualify.
Wait, those weren't MLB licensed?
No, they were real.
That's what I thought.
The thing with the holograph on it and a hologram or whatever it is.
Yo, if you drive down El Camino, there's a spot that sells like bootleg jerseys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to own a ton of those. Actually, I still do own a ton of them.
That Will Clark one, lightweight bootleg.
One of the Will Clarks is, I have a Mickey Mantle with a patch on it celebrating the opening of the new Yankee Stadium.
Does it say Mantle on the back too? That was always my favorite. Like, right. The Yankee jersey was right. The easiest bootleg because yep. If it said Jeter on the back, it's like, bruh.
Yeah.
How?
Plus it was spelled M-A-N-T-E-L. You know.
Swear. No. I was about to say, because that would be amazing. Or it's spelled Mattel, like the toy brand.
Mickey Mattel. You know, back in the day, I'm sure when we have Luke Walton on next, I'm sure he's heard a few of these. People would roll around with, like, Grateful Dead bootleg tapes.
By the way, can we maybe make that happen soon? Like, just an unfiltered Luke Walton interview? Like, he ain't got to talk basketball.
He's not going to do an unfiltered interview.
I mean unfiltered in the sense of, like, yo, Luke, we're just shooting the you-know-what for 25 minutes. Nah, we'll just talk about anything you want.
Yeah, we could. Then everybody will, you know.
Like, I want Luke Walton's opinion on Dino Nuggets.
Well, you know what? Let's come up with like 30 questions, and none of them have to do with basketball.
Okay.
I mean, really, a cereal, we a could soup, do that type of thing.
We could do that in 10 minutes.
I think we could, too. I'm all for that. I wonder if he'd be for. Hey, Luke.
Do you think Luke would elaborate on any of that stuff? Or is he just going to give you, like, one-word answers?
No, I think he would. I think if we told him in advance, we're like, dude, listen, we want to do a non-basketball interview. Let's just getting to know Luke Walton again for the first time. Anyways, bootleg. Oh, by the way, also Pearl Jam fans. A lot of bootleg tapes there. Get yourself one today. I hate to go from having fun to not having fun, but I just saw this. Sad news from the world of football. We were just talking about Keith McCants passing away yesterday. This one, I mean, listen, not going to expect to hear this. 3-time Super Bowl winner with the New England Patriots, David Patton, passed away 47 years old. No details on his passing are available. I'm sure they will become. He just retired in 2010. Played for five teams over a 12-year NFL career, best known for his four seasons with the Patriots from 01 to 04. Caught the only offensive touchdown for the Patriots during their first Super Bowl win in the 2001 season against the Rams that gave them a 14-3 lead just before halftime. I did not expect to see that. Well, that's what a stupid statement. You don't ever expect to see
yeah,
stuff
I was gonna
like
say.
This. He's so young. He's just so young. That's so sad. Thoughts with him. And his family. There's no way to get past this. Let me just get to what's on tap here real quick. Oakland A's in action against the Blue Jays. That's 407 right here on the Sporty 1140. Sean Manaea on the mound for the Athletics. And the Giants, they start their weekend series. The biggest series yet in baseball this year. Dodgers, Giants, 6:45, David Price, Anthony Desclafani. This time, it's for real.
When we come back on Monday, blank team will be up blank games.
The Dodgers will be up one game.
The Giants will be up one game.
Mm-hmm. You know you're wrong.
You know you're wrong.
You know you're wrong.
You know you're wrong.
In other things going on this weekend, we obviously have the Tour Championship in golf. And college football kicks off for real. We've had some sprinkling of games thus far, including Ohio State and Minnesota last night. That was a fun game. Number two, Oklahoma takes on Tulane. I won't go through the whole list. Let me just say number 19, Penn State, number 12, Wisconsin on Saturday. Alabama versus number 14, Miami also on Saturday. Indiana, Iowa, the 17th and 18th ranked teams play, as well as number 23, Louisiana, number 21, Texas. The marquee matchup will be the final matchup of Saturday. Number 5, Georgia visits a number 3, Clemson. And then probably the game everyone's waiting on the most. That comes Sunday, 4:30 p.m. our time. Number 9, Notre Dame taking on the Florida State Seminoles.
Don't care about Notre Dame anymore now that they're Ian Bookless.
Yeah, that's a good point right there. Wait, who drafted Ian Book? Somebody drafted him late.
He got drafted
late. The Broncos
late.
Or something? I don't know. I'll look.
All right. If it's the Broncos, he might have a chance to start.
Crossover time.
Who is it?
What's happening on the afternoons with Jason Ross?
Who was the boss?
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
Hey, guys. Fantasy football is almost here. I'm sure some drafts are getting ready to take place this weekend, if not early next week, with the season starting next Thursday. Both of you have played fantasy football. And I don't know if either one of you has been in one of those leagues where the last place finish is something that would make you nervous, you know, a tattoo or some sort of hazing, some sort of dangerous loss. So my question would be this. Would you be willing to participate in a fantasy football league if whatever the punishment was for coming in last was something that truly scared you? Would you be willing to participate in one of those leagues?
No.
No.
No, we talked about this yesterday.
Had too many last place finishes.
Yeah, no, no. I'm in fantasy football to win money. I don't care about, Now, we have a thing in one of my legacy leagues I've been in forever. I've talked about it before. Last place has to wear a Pink Panther outfit during the draft. And it's really hot. I don't mean that as in, like, good looking. I mean,
because that's how I took it.
Very, very warm in there. I don't mind stuff like that. But I'm not drinking a fifth of Goldschlager. I'm not getting a tattoo. I'm not jumping into ice cold freezing waters. I'm not going out on the street.
I'm not doing anything as a grown man that's going to literally embarrass me, my children, or my family.
Not doing it. Screw it. It's fantasy football.
Fantasy being the key word.
I'll do a fantasy stunt, one that I don't do. We can just talk about it. But no, thank you.
Yeah, I don't trust my own fantasy management in that sense.
I will say this, dude. I only have one league left that has an in-person draft. It's really sad. The whole point of fantasy football to me is sitting around with everybody around a table. And,
yeah.
You know, everything's gone online. What's the point?
We're Zooming it for mine, too, because of, people still.
And I get it. Well, COVID's a different story, but it's just.
Yeah, no, it's. I've always enjoyed getting together with people, bringing in a bunch of food that was not good for you and just. Stuffing my face and drafting football players.
A lot of times.
Fun.
In some cases, there's some people in that league that I used to hang out with as a kid. That's the only time of the year I see them.
Mm-hmm.
Is there and vice versa. So, anyways, Fourth round, New Orleans Saints drafted Ian Book.
There you go.
There you go. The heir apparent to Drew Brees.
Yes, obviously.
Always a word, Ian Book hive here. Crossover time, Jason Ross.
Who was the boss?
Feel free to go around the room on this one, because I have a feeling I know where Chris Verlade's going to lay on this question. You have the opportunity to go into a room, sit down on the floor, and you've got an hour, half hour, whatever it may be, to play with one of the following. Sounds bad.
Yeah.
Five kittens or five puppies. And you're also going to have a little basket there that has all kinds of toys specific to the ant. So, you know, you'll have like yarn and laser pointers and stuff for the cats. And you'll have, I don't know, balls and sausage for the dogs. You know what I mean?
What the
hell?
This
is going way off. Yeah, to play fetch with.
Right.
And little treats.
Sure.
Anyways, kittens or puppies, which one do you pick? Have a great weekend. For Jay, I'm Dave. We'll see you on Tuesday. Jim Rome is next. Go, Kings. Enjoy the weekend. Bye. Bye. Now.